Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Paul.
Thank you, fellas. Thank you, fellas.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, Paul. On behalf of 2SM, our listeners and all the good guys, we present you with this kangaroo to take back and remember your trip to Australia.
Thank you very much. No, really lovely. A better kangaroo I've yet to see. And this card is truly wonderful, fantastic.
How about Mad Mel's scarf, which you haven't yet seen?
Well, we're not going to talk about him, are we? No. Just ignore him. No, it's great. There it is over there. No idea I'm going to go back to England, but it's great. I love it.
Paul, from all 2SM listeners and everybody in Sydney, a very happy birthday. We're honoured that you celebrated your 22nd with us.
Thank you, Bob.
This thing, Ringo, is called a kazoo. Have you ever seen one before?
No, I've heard of one, though. It's a sort of...
Has the kazoo movement swept England at all or not?
No. Why is it a big thing over here?
It is. We're trying to get leaders of various countries to play kazoos because we feel this could ease international tension.
Yeah. It could do, actually.
So if you...
One?
Do you think Mr. Home would like one if we sent him one?
I don't know. Who's Mr. Home?
He's out of the money.
I know. Whom?
Anyway, we'd like you to have like that one. Kazoo and you can play with it while
thank
you're
Thank you very
Australia.
Much. Thank you, Mike. Never mind, Mike.
Thanks, Ringo.
Thank you.
And now, by kind permission of the Beatles' manager, Brian Epstein, and Ken Brosiak of Aztec Services, who brought the group to Australia, let's go into the Sydney Stadium for exclusive scenes of the Beatles' performance. Extends to commerce. the Beatles get a percentage from pendants, badges, photographs, stockings, and a score more items rushed by their fans. They're big news. A story about them sells more newspapers, more magazines. And there doesn't seem to be any limit to the number of people who want to climb on the Beatle bandwagon.
George, about the egg episode in Sydney.
Yeah, we heard they'd been throwing eggs at somebody who was on before us. And when we got on stage, there were remains of eggs around. And all the way through the act, I was ducking and looking around to see if there was anybody throwing them at us. But as luck would have it, they didn't.
George, jelly babies have been thrown again, and does this worry you?
Yeah, I don't like them at all. Because they're so dangerous when they come in big numbers like it does at a show of that size. If you get one in your eye, you're just blind, aren't you, for life?
Now you're in New Zealand, what are you looking forward to seeing?
I don't know. Have a look at a couple of Maoris, I suppose.
Anybody told you about these tikis that you have souvenirs of?
Well, we saw some in Tahiti, the tiki gods. And I don't know if these are going to be the same. Actually, John and I ordered 2 6-foot-high tiki gods made out of wood, 2 each.
How are you going to get them home?
Well, we ordered them in Tahiti and asked some fella to post them. So we don't know if they've got there yet.
John, you're looking forward to seeing your Aunt Mimi again?
Yes, I don't know whether I'll see her on this trip because the place she's staying at, she said, is miles away.
Will she be going back with you?
I don't think from this trip. No, we're joining her at Sydney, you know, or Eric or Dave, somewhere like that.
John, what's your reaction to the Australian trip?
It was marvellous. Well worth the trip, and we hope to come back.
What about the circular stage at Sydney Stadium?
Well, it was a bit off-putting the first half of the first night. You know, you don't know what's happening. You keep going one way and then going there, but you get used to it after a couple of days.
Ringo, we see that Jimmy Nichols had a lucky break back home. What do you think about that?
Well, he's having quite a few lucky breaks. All the best to him. Good old Jimmy.
So what do you think about this kiwi that's been given to you?
What kiwi? That thing they gave you when we got on the plane.
That big monster. Marvellous.
That's a kiwi. That's a nearly extinct New Zealand bird.
Well, they're not that big really, are they?
No, they're about 10 inches tall.
Oh, well, this is not big. What? I knew it was a kiwi because it started polishing my shoes.
Paul singing in back.
Yeah, that's Paul singing at the back.
And, well, now, do you know about the tikis, these traditional symbols?
Yeah, we've got one, actually, but it's a dirty load of cheats because they're only made of plastic. I want a real one.
You going to buy one?
Well, I suppose so, if no one gives me one.
What do you think of the beautiful scenery of New Zealand?
Mountains look all right. Looks like the moon.
What's that, John?
Looks like the moon from here.
Hey, listen, what about the egg throwing at Sydney Stadium?
Well, nobody threw any at us, I don't think. Oh, yeah, fried them first.
Yeah. Ringo says he wishes they'd fried them first.
One night somebody threw one at us. We didn't know, actually, till we got off. There was a bit of egg on my trousers. But they stopped throwing them by the time we got on. Anyway, we had people posted, so as soon as they threw them, we were going to get them dragged on stage and smash eggs all over the place, all over them.
What did you say, Ringo?
We smash eggs all over them.
Now, Paul, you were given a kiwi, a very large one. How do you feel about it?
Was it a kiwi or an emu or what?
That was a kiwi. That was what you wanted to see.
Yes, true. Well, I've seen it now. We're going to take it around with us, you know, in New Zealand. I love those big things.
What about the tikis? They told you all about tikis?
Yeah, something, little gods, aren't they? Very nice. Not as good as that kangaroo you gave me, though.
Thank you. What about Sydney? Did you like the reception?
I loved it. Knocked out completely.
Well, I didn't see anybody 17 foot 9, did you?
He was a great big security corps fellow.
Aye, I don't think he was 17 foot 9, though, was he?
17 foot 9, how tall are you?
Quick calculation. Yeah, you should have worked that out, shouldn't you?
Well, I did.
Third of 17 foot 9.
All right, come on. Let's...
Yeah.
Tell me, how do the fans react in Australia?
Marvellous, great.
Compared to the United States, how are they?
Roughly the same as the United States.
And England?
The same.
Do you find any difference with them?
Not up to now. There may be.
How are you liking this applause? Is it going to your head at all?
No. Well, it goes to my ears, but...
Do you think you'll be able to do without it in times to come?
Oh, I don't know. When the time comes, we'll see, you know.
Somebody's hiding behind you, John.
I'm plugging in, giving him the lines to say...
Oh, is that what it is?
George, you've travelled a lot of the world now. If you weren't living in England, is there any other place you'd like to live?
I wouldn't mind living in a place like, in America, in either Florida or California, in the hot bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't live there for all the year round, maybe for 1 or 2 months in a year, but I'd rather live in England.
You as a group have known each other for a long time.
Yeah.
How
yeah.
long?
Well, I've known Paul about since I was 12 or 13.
Were you friends
so
then?
So that's about 8 or 9 years ago. Yeah, met him because he went to the same school as I did and he lived by me. And then John, I've known about 7 years, and Ringo about 4 or 5.
Now, you've got your own sense of humour as a group.
Well, I suppose you could say that.
How did you find the American sense of humour?
I don't know.
Is it different?
Well, we never really bother, you know, with local senses of humour. You never really notice it. We just crack the same gags amongst ourselves, and the same things make us laugh as they've always done. So, it, you know, we don't care.
And these make other people laugh too.
Well, we hope so.
George, do you all live together?
No. You mean in London? No, well, at the moment, I've got an apartment or a flat, whatever you call it out here. I've got one of those with Ringo. And John's married, of course. He's got one with his wife, and Paul's got another one. But, you know, Ringo and I, most of the fans think that we all live in the flat, in the one, and so when they find out, we've got to move on, you see, so we just keep moving.
Do you have to keep changing your address all
well,
the time?
Well, every few months we do. It just depends how bad it gets. But one time we had to have police on guard outside the door, and every time we wanted to go in or out, we had to phone the police and get them to clear the street. It was ridiculous.
Does this mean you can't have much fun, really?
Well, it's not that bad now, because we moved, you see, and they don't know where we are yet.
And you're not going to tell us?
We go out to places that we know we won't be bothered at. You know, we've got our own set of friends and a lot of nightclubs and restaurants that we go to, and we're all right.
George, there are a lot of young people doing the same sort of music as you are in Liverpool, aren't there? The Mersey Beat.
Well, in England now, yeah.
In England. The many hoping to make the big time, as you have, in Liverpool?
I don't know, I suppose, you know, everybody's hoping. But, I mean, we never expected to make it at all. I mean, at one time, all we wanted to do was make a record, and that would have done us. But, you know, we got a record contract, made a record, and it was a hit. And then our next one was a bigger hit, and since then it's just snowballed. But we didn't sort of dream about being stars and famous and all that rubbish.
Rubbish, you think?
Well, you know, I mean, people always think that you know, go about dreaming that you're going to be a star. Well, I think that's daft, because people, you know, it just happens and you don't think about it anyway.
What would you have done if you hadn't become a star?
I would have been a poor beetle. We'd just be the same, only just earning about 20 quid a week each, probably, if we were lucky.
Have you been able to do a lot more with your money than you would have done?
Yeah, naturally, I mean,
a lot of the things you wanted to do.
Yeah, but when you've got more money, there's not enough things. You can't think of enough things to buy, if you know what I mean. I know when I didn't have any money, or just used to have a couple of pound a week, I used to think, I wish I had some money, I'd buy this and I'd buy that. But when you have got the money, you don't want things.
What were some of the things you did want to buy?
Well, I always wanted a house, a car, a castle and all that, and a yacht.
Have you got them all?
No.
You do have fans from all age groups, don't you?
Yes. Some people say that when you get older fans, the kids don't like you. It's true with a pocket of kids, but it's much more satisfying to have a good, you know, sort of, I can't think of the word, coverage of,
yes.
And you know, what's the word? It doesn't matter. Anyway, more, you know, different types than just one packet of, pocket of, sort of, one packet of little fans in one corner, you know.
Your book, In My Own Right, what's it all about, John?
It's about nothing, you know. If you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. That's all there is to it. There's nothing deep or anything in it. It's just meant to be funny.
Entertainment.
I hope.
What about the next one you're writing?
I don't know. I'm just, you know, I don't know whether I'll ever write one if I get, you know, it just depends how I feel. I'm just writing now and then when I feel like. I only do it when I feel in a funny mood, you know.
you mentioned art school. Were you going to be an artist of some kind?
I went to art school because there didn't seem to be any hope for me in any other field, and it was about the only thing I could do, possibly. But I didn't do very well there either because I'm lazy, you see. So that's the way it goes.
Did you use your art at all? Have you done any drawings?
I did the drawings for the book. That's the most amount of drawing I've done since I left college.
John, what was your group called originally?
We had one or two names. I had a group before I met the others called the Quarrymen, and then Paul joined it, and then George joined it. Then we began to change the names for different bookings, you know, and then we finally hit upon the Beatles.
And what about the haircut?
It's so long ago, we can hardly remember, you know. It was something to do with Paris and something to do with Hamburg, and we're not quite sure now, because there's so much been written about it, even we've forgotten, that's true.
Have to read it up to find out.
Yeah, well, you know, they just make it up about the hair now, but it was something sort of happened between Hamburg and Paris.
What do you feel about all the manufacturers sort of jumping on the bandwagon and all the Beatles shoes and bags and clothes?
Well, most of them spelling it B-E-A-T-L-E-S. We've got some sort of thing in it. I don't know how it's worked. Our accountants do it. So I don't mind it, you know, as long as we're in on it. And the ones that aren't are usually tracked down, if you're listening. And the clever ones try and use B-double-E, but it doesn't often help, you know.
Is there anything you want to do and see while you're in New Zealand?
I want to see this stuff steaming out of the ground.
Rotorua. Will he get up there?
I don't know. We'll try.
Ringo.
Yes.
How do you feel?
I'm feeling fine, thank you very much. How are you?
I'm very well.
That's all right then. We're both all right.
You must be rather thrilled joining them all up again.
Yeah, it was marvellous, you know, a week today, Sunday.
We were told to go quietly at the start?
The doctor advised me, you know, to take it easy for a couple of days, and he said, don't sing for a week. So I didn't sing all the time in Australia.
Oh, that's good.
I may start in New Zealand.
That's good.
Now, it's not really singing, actually. It's just shouting.
Ringo, what if the group ever packs up, have you thought what you can do?
I can't do very much, really, I don't think. You know.
Have you been trained for anything?
No, I was an apprenticed engineer for 4 years, but I'd never go back to that, you know.
Why?
Well, I left it because I didn't like it, so I'm not going back.
Fair enough.
Actually, I think I'd be frightened, because when you sort of start, you get used to drills and lathes and all these big machines, but going back would worry me a bit, I think.
Why, I'm going to be very personal, why do you wear two rings in each hand? It's a gimmick now, is it?
No, well, it started, when I was 16, my mother bought me my first signet ring, and I sort of built up from there. And I like jewellery, you know.
Yes.
So I've had the same four on since I was 21, which will be 3 years next month.
And you've never taken them off?
Never taken them off, no.
That's why you're called Ringo, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, I used to wear different rings when I first got called Ringo at about 19. About 59, I got called Ringo.
You've almost forgotten your real name by now, I suppose.
Yeah, it's when I have to sign my real name, it's
okay. It's a darn thing.
Most times I just write Ringo anyway, and I have to cross it out. You know, all my forms look a terrible mess.
After they've opened it, I said, St. George must have opened it. That is John. This is Paul. Hello, Bob. And this is Ringo. Hello, Bob. Where's George?
He's writing a letter.
He's writing a letter home.
Yeah.
Well, you've just started...
He's a good lad to his mum, you know, is George.
How are your opening performances in New Zealand?
They were very different from Australian, you know, because Australians, I think, are much wilder people anyway, you know. It's very exciting to play a show in Australia. But here, it was a different kind of thing, you know, because they're all very conservative. It was okay, though. I mean, nothing to complain about. Yes, mind you, the New Zealand people thought it was wild, but, you know, I don't think you would have thought it was, you know, comparatively speaking.
Yet outside the hotel later, at about 11 o'clock when you made your appearance, they were quite wild, weren't they?
Yes, they seem wild from a distance. When you get near, it seems to quiet them down. Now, they're good, you know, but compared with most other places, they're very quiet.
I believe a policeman had some gashes in his leg when you left the hotel at 5:30.
We didn't leave till 6:30. I don't know. I haven't heard about it. Oh, well, I hope not. Get well soon anyway.
And there was a girl who... A number of girls who burst through the cordon right at the end of your second show.
Yeah. That was exciting, you know. It got a bit exciting towards the end of the second one. We were hoping to be up on stage dancing and things, but police got them back, you know.
We've read, since we left
Melbourne, the Southern Cross Hotel has cut up the sheets in which you slept and given them to orphans.
Yes, well, it's a good idea, I think. You know, I mean, at first I thought it was a daft idea, but as soon as they said, you know, that it's going to a good cause and they're selling it to help all the orphans and things, you know, I thought, good idea, that's good idea.
Now, John, your Aunt Mimi is reunited with you, and I believe has introduced you to some of your relatives. That you've got more relatives here than in England.
I have, Max. I seem to have a lot everywhere. One gathers them. But, yes, I was reunited with her, but she's staying on here. Oh, excuse me, Ringo was making a funny noise earlier.
I don't know exactly what he was doing.
A bit of wind, I think. Don't you, Ringo?
Ringo, this is the first time that you have sung on this Australian tour.
Isn't it New Zealand, Bob?
Australasian tour.
There you go.
You know the word Australasian. That means Australia and New Zealand.
I see. Yes, first time. So what are you going to say about it?
Did you notice the enormous reaction as soon as John moved the microphone over towards you? They knew it was going to happen.
I thought he was
going to
hit me with these.
You sang Boys. Are you likely to sing
I'm glad you were listening, Bob. I was there when you got your ears up.
I was taking notes.
I see. You weren't listening, you were taking notes.
Are you going to sing I Want to Be Your Man?
I don't know. Well, we usually sing which numbers are popular. You know, I never sing Boys in England anymore. I usually sing I Want to Be Your Man.
I think in Australasia, you know, Boys is the number that Ringo's known for. I think it's the most popular, so we'll probably be doing that one here.
One of the boys from Sounds Incorporated has gone down with the wog, and I believe there's a flu epidemic around.
Gone down with the what?
The wog. A flu germ.
Oh. I thought you meant something else. Gone down with the wog? What kind of language is that, I asked?
It's Australian.
Really? Well, I hope it is.
Well, all right, well, he's gone down with a flu germ, and I believe there's a flu epidemic here. What would happen if any of you caught the flu?
We probably flew home.
How do you like that one, Bob?
He's got a good... Yeah.
Have you bought any souvenirs in New Zealand?
No, I bought a couple of Maoris, but don't tell anyone. Never get them through the customs.
We got a couple of plastic tikis given to us. Whatever happened to the real ones? You never seem to get the real ones, you know, Bob. Always them plastic Japanese models.
Yes, well, they tell me that they have a very, you know, great rite behind them, and they hide them and they bury them because they mean something, you know, the real marriage.
Fertility or something, isn't it?
Yes, well, I didn't want to discuss that.
You didn't want to discuss that, you know, teenage program he's got. It's a bit disgusting, all that
fertility already.
What? No, but, no, fertility, that's all potatoes and fertile crops and all that. That's what it means, I think.
Just a minute, John.
We buried ours.
Buried ours, yes.
Yeah,
actually, I've got a very good turnip crop coming up this year. I'm hoping for good things.
McCartney playing guitar. The Vienna Boys Choir is in town.
Oh, you must go and see them. Must go. Ever heard they're a rave?
I believe they're wild, man. You've got to watch it when they're on.
Hey, they don't ask, but they blow up a bit of a storm, those fellas.
I know, they
have to... you heard of shaking their heads, seen them?
I've seen them, yeah.
Go mad, they do.
Vienna Boys Choir Mania.
Yeah. Just a minute, John.
Vienna Boys Choir Mania, I'd call it.
Any special message for Australia?
Yeah.
Hello, Australia. There's a good...
Can't wait to come back to Brisbane.
Yeah, can't wait to see Brisbane.
Keep the sun shining.
Sunny climate. See you then.
Yeah, I hope there's more people than this over here in Brisbane.
I think there is.
How many does it hold in Brisbane? But what are you looking at your tape for? We've plenty of time.
About 6,000 in the festival.
Nice. I like a big crowd.
I like a big crowd too. Especially a big Brisbane crowd.
Lovely. Well, Bob, that's about it then. Cheerio.
See you then, Bob. Ta-ra.
Thanks for calling.
Ta-ra, Bob.
Bob. See you again, Bob. Hey, Bob. Okay, Bob. Hey, Bob. See you again then, Bob. Hey, Bob. Okay, Bob. Right, Bob? Okay, Bob.
This is Bob Rogers, and I'm with the Beatles at their first press conference in Auckland, New Zealand. Paul, you had a pretty wild reception here at the hotel.
True, yeah. It was very good.
Were you knocked about at all yourself?
No, because we were inside the car, you know, but there was plenty of knocking about going out. There was only about two coppers there, you know.
I don't know how many press conferences this is you've now had here, but are you getting tired of them?
Not really, you know, because we've been having them for about the last, what, 4 months or something. You get into the routine, you know.
Paul, you gave a wonderful television interview in Wellington. I think you'd agree it's probably one of those things that just happens every so often.
When we saw it back, we quite enjoyed it, you know. We thought it was a bit of a laugh.
You had a very quiet time in Wellington. Do you think you'll get a chance to get out whilst you're in Auckland?
You never know, you know. We've been trying to fix up something. I think we'll just sort of play it, you know, as it goes, see if anything happens, if a chance comes up, and we'll be out.
Would you agree that whilst you're performing, the crowds here are quieter than they are in Australia, but afterwards and outside of these activities, they're wilder and anything's liable to happen?
Yeah, well, they were in Wellington, you know, because, of course, the last show in Wellington was pretty wild.
A young fella jumped up on stage and grabbed at you, but you went on singing. How did you feel? Did you think the thing was going to get out of hand?
No, you know, because the thing is, when you look at them, you know, the fellas and the girls who sort of jump up, you realise they're not going to belt you or anything, you know. They're not trying to get you, really. They're just sort of coming up to say hello, you know.
John.
Hello.
Hello, Bob. How are you? These three young ladies got in here, I don't know how. They're
know how.
Julia, Catherine and Patricia. Meet
hello,
John
Julia.
Lennon.
Because I can only see one. How do you do? I'm offering my hand, but she won't. Oh, there you go. How are you?
A little overawed.
She looks quite confident to me.
John, you seem to have spent most of your extracurricular activities here, and how's that for a word, in Wellington?
I like it, really.
Meeting relatives.
We're not in Wellington now, Bob, but I did when I was in Wellington. Yes, I met quite a batch. Ringo had quite a batch that he didn't even know, but I knew mine.
Has this become a competitive thing?
No. It could develop into one of those things, though, couldn't it?
John, there was a story told about a fellow who knocked on your window on the 8th floor outside. Would you like to tell us that story at the Sheraton Hotel in Sydney the night you were packing to come here?
Yeah, well, we were just sort of each shoving our rags into a case, dirty rags, and I heard a knock on the window and I thought, oh, you know, it must be one of the others messing around or something. I didn't take any notice of it. He kept on knocking. So I went out there and there was this lad who looked just like a Liverpool lad, and I knew before he opened his mouth where he was from, because I thought nobody else would be climbing up 8 floors, you know. And I opened the window, and this lad just walks in, Peter, I've forgotten his other name, and he says, hello, dear. And we said, hello, dear, and he told us how he climbed up, and he'd emigrated 6 months ago. And gave him a drink, because he deserved one after that climb, you know.
Climbed up outside the hotel?
Outside. He came up on the different balconies and the drainpipe, I think, and took him round to see the others, because he climbed into my room, or the sitting room we had, but the others were still packing. And they were quite amazed. They thought I was joking when I told them.
Now, here's Ringo, who seems to have started in competition with John in the relative race.
I've met three girls and a man, and they're really about second cousins when we get down to it. He's not my brother at all.
Ringo, have you heard this record that the Howard Morrison group here in New Zealand have got a big hit with called I Want to Cut Your Hair?
No, not yet. I've heard all about it, though. Is it good? Have you heard it?
I haven't, but everybody's talking.
Everybody's talking, but nobody seems to have heard it.
How'd they get on as far as, you know, restrictions on the composer royalties are concerned?
Well, what tune is it to? Something must happen about it. Don't ask me about that bit. Anyway, tell them that allowed 4 bars, and after that, they're sued.
Have you heard about the furor that's been created in Auckland about the civic reception, which is costing £60 of the ratepayers' money?
No, my God, they should be broke after that.
Some people...
I've read about it, but I mean, it doesn't bother me one way or the other. We either go or we don't, you know.
I mean, we never ask for civic receptions. We don't expect them. People do it, we're flattered, but if they don't, you know, after that.
after what happened in Melbourne, you're probably not really looking forward to another city.
I enjoyed the one in Melbourne.
The one in Melbourne was quite
a good one. The Lord there was a great fellow, and his wife and his daughters. And then all of a sudden, the press keep saying we didn't enjoy it. We walked out. I walked around that floor shaking hands with everybody.
Would you like to say a few words about the press?
Which press? All the press.
The Australian press.
Well, some of them are good fellows, but there's a few of them trying to knock us, you know, the same in every country.